This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. I'm not mysterious. I understand that. That's one of the things I'm not.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, my word.
The Rich Eisen Show.
We better wake our tails up. Every player better wake up and start understanding where we're at.
I just don't know if the Bears fans are going to be like, okay.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, today's guests, 16-year NFL veteran Ron Jaworski, ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes, Browns running back Nick Chubb, plus actor David Boreanaz. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Here we are on the first day of December 2020. Hope you are happy and well wherever you are. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've got a lot of great guests, many of them focused, laser focused on last night's Week 12 Monday Nighter. That was not the finale. The Ravens and Steelers are supposed to be tonight. It's going tomorrow. But nothing's gonna trump the tree lighting in Rockefeller Center. We'll talk about that on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you over there, Christopher.
Hey, my man.
Good to see you right over there. Del Tufo is off, so our buddy Jason Feller is rocking right in there. Not Michael Del Tufo. I appreciate that sign that you put right there. TJ Jefferson, my social media grandmaster. Good to see you right over there.
Wait, Rich, and that's just so you don't get those two confused.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
So
you added the knot. That's your...
No, that was Jason. That was his work.
That was me.
It helped.
I like it. Everybody's pitching it together. So, okay. Let's begin this show back in 2011. Why am I bringing you to this show in 2011?
Right.
I like going full picture. I like going, full 360 here. Okay, 2011. I had a lot of hair back then. Lost most of it right then and there because it was the old lockout back in the day. And one of the issues that was being hammered out in the lockout of 2011 was among the many. The fact that when someone was drafted first overall in the NFL draft, it was very, very costly for the team, not just financially, but also just for the entire organization having to be all in on somebody sight unseen. Yes, kids, it used to be the top player drafted, certainly if he was a quarterback, became the most paid player in the history of that team's franchise. Happened over and over again with Sam Bradford, with Matthew Stafford in Detroit. It happened over and over again, and there really was no other business in the world like it. The equivalent would be you take the top student at the top law firm in the land, and that student graduates and becomes the highest paid attorney in the history of the law firm that hires this person,
like Mitch McDear.
Sort of like that, right.
Yeah.
And there was no Wilford Brimley out there to try and keep things in line.
Or Gene Hackman.
Got it. Didn't exist.
Didn't exist.
And the NFL ownership basically said, we don't like committing so much to one player sight unseen. Not a single snap of football. And we need to pay this person millions upon millions of dollars. I'm sure it didn't work very well in the locker room as well. All these veterans lining up saying, I have given my blood, sweat, and tears to this organization, and this kid has never even set foot in the building and suddenly the highest paid player in the history of the organization. It was just bad for business in many different ways. Everybody got together and created slotting. So such and such player drafted first overall gets this much, and so on and so forth. And it also ended holdouts. Remember, players would hold out of training camp?
Oh, yeah. Jamarcus Russell.
Jamarcus Russell's another example of all money going to Jamarcus Russell from the Raiders organization. Hadn't even played a game for them, and that turned out to be an unmitigated disaster. So what they essentially did is come up with a slotting system and also a system in which you're drafted first overall. There's a fifth year of contractual, ownership. Had a fifth year of contractual control over a player that was drafted in the first round. So you got 4 years to take a look at this kid. And right before the fourth year, you had to declare, I'm going to pick up the fifth year option, which was a nice chunk of change, not like franchise tag money. but a nice chunk of change. So you now had at least 3 years to take a look at the player before you had to make the decision of pushing for one more year off into the future, the ultimate decision of, do I give this kid the richest contract in the history of the franchise because he's a quarterback? Reason why I bring all this up is in this entire time, I guess of 9 years of this being the case, we've never seen what's happened with Carson Wentz. We've never seen somebody who, in the years where you have to make the decision of picking up the fifth-year option or bestowing the long-term contract upon the player, we've never seen a player ball out to the point where he was a front-runner for the most valuable player in the NFL and created a situation where the team was a one seed from which they were able to eventually win the Super Bowl after the kid in Carson Wentz gets hurt, blows out his knee in one of the many different ways that he was balling out, put his body on the line quite a bit, making great throws, great decisions, would throw his body around. We called it toughness. Blew his knee out right up the road in the L.A. Coliseum. Head first in the end zone. Here comes Aaron Donald. And then a little Malachi crunch. He gets hurt. But the Eagles had the one seed and made the Super Bowl with Nick Foles doing Nick Foles things. So the Eagles decide to give this kid the long-term contract after he comes back and he doesn't finish the season again. But they decide to do the smart thing. And we were lauding Howie Roseman and the Eagles for doing this because we see what happens when you don't go early and give the kid money. Early, you wind up doing what the Cowboys are doing with Dak. Franchise tag, franchise tag, franchise. That's very expensive. So you're doing the smart thing. Sign him early. We've never seen somebody earn the respect and the confidence of management to get the nine-figure contract in this era of we're not going to give it to you right on draft day. We need to see something first before we give it to you. We've never seen that contract bestowed on somebody where we all believe, for the most part, it's warranted, and have that player thoroughly disintegrate. We've never seen that. Carson Wentz, after last night's game, lost to the Seahawks. 15 interceptions, 46 sacks taken, and 95 off-target incompletions. And I'm assuming that's the NFL version of unforced errors in tennis. Okay? It's not like an on-target and ball not caught, or on-target and ball is broken up. Like an off-target incompletion, I'm assuming. Because, again, I'm an old-gen stat guy, not a next-gen stat guy very much. He leads the NFL in all three of those categories. Number of times that we saw Brian Griese and Louis Riddick, who I think do a great job, last night during the broadcast, say, that guy was open, that guy was open. This is the scheme. This is you should know this guy's open. And it's not just Wentz, the offensive line. Jason Kelce is a top-notch player. Didn't know the snap count. Boston Scott's in the game. They do set up a screen for him. He's blocking. So there's Wentz with all of his blockers upfield, letting the rush come in. And there's little Boston Scott, who's like 4 foot nothing. He's like the Rudy of the Eagles. And he's in there trying to find someone to block. And I'm like, no, dude, you're supposed to be on the other side of these blockers. I'm supposed to throw to you. And Wentz looks like he's awful. It's not just Wentz, but a lot of it is Wentz. And the only rational explanation, the only rational explanation why they are continuing to bang their heads against the same brick wall is because of the money. That's it. That's got to be it. Because 2022, according to all the capologists, you read about this, 2022 is the first opportunity in which the Eagles could part ways, and it wouldn't cost them the proverbial arm and a leg in cap money, dead cap money. That's what you're reading about. That's what you're seeing. And when Howie Roseman made the smart move to do it early, nobody obviously saw a pandemic coming in which the cap would actually shrink potentially or not grow to the same level that we're expecting year in and year out. It's a total perfect storm of a disaster. And the only reason why they are not turning to Jalen Hurts with regularity is because of the money. And to me, I will just say this. You're a half game out of first place. That's not the reason to keep banging your head against the same wall with Wentz. Because if Wentz was in, say, the Mitchell Trubisky spot, if this disintegration had happened before the fifth-year option or had happened just as you decided not to pick up the fifth-year option, a la Bucks with Jameis, a la Titans with Mariota, if this was that sense of timing, you'd be seeing Hurts right now. You drafted him in the second round, and the kid has been through the crucible. As I said last week, I feel for him in the manner that he was the veteran in the face of his program and college, and his championship head coach goes with the young gun in the middle of a championship game and says, thanks for the memories. And now he's drafted by a franchise, by a championship coach who refuses to move on from the veteran of his program when everything screams, let's see what the young gun can do. And Hurts is now the young gun, and he can't get more than just a rep here and a rep there and come on out. Let's see how, let's put Wentz back in there in third and long so we can hold on for it forever. And Jamal Adams is going to come across some tight end who doesn't see him coming because he's all sorts of crazy. You don't know where he's coming from. And boom, Wentz gets sacked again. So to me, I'm thinking here, look, the worst case scenario would be Hurts comes in, carries the day, he becomes Nick Foles, and now you got an issue where, all right, our backup is going to cost us all this money? I mean, we saw Ryan Fitzpatrick benched for Tua. He's back in 2 weeks. I mean, you saw over and over again how Wentz in two straight years, the backup was coming in.
Right.
Honestly, is he that bad? Is Hurts that unusable? Is he that unusable? Because this kid has the it factor that we keep talking about everybody else. This kid has had a ton of adversity hit him. Let's see him. My God. He delivered the first reception to Alshon Jeffrey of the year last night. Come on out. I honestly don't get it. I don't get it. And the season's still alive, though. And we'll talk about it with Ron Jaworski, Jaws. We booked him last week. We saw this thing coming. So Ron will join us.
Yeah, Rich, you talk about the numbers all the time. So his cap hit, if he were to be released after this year, is $34.6 million. A dead cap of $59 million because his guaranteed salary is $25 million. Right. His 2021 salary is already guaranteed. It got guaranteed way back in March.
Right.
So he's on the books for a hefty amount.
Like I've said, we've never seen what we're seeing unfold. Honestly, we've seen draft picks turn into busts. And I'm talking about over the last 10 years when they changed the slotting and they changed the whole, we'll give you a ton of money, but you got to prove it first from the, we'll give you a ton of money just because you proved it on Saturdays in the SEC. Right? We've never seen what we're seeing right now. The numbers on the screen, it's just like he has fallen off a cliff. I mean, the most famous cracked item from Philadelphia, this side of the Liberty Bell. You know, used to ring, now it's cracked. I don't have slide rules to tell you what a passer rating is, but it's down by 25 points. I mean, that's all you need to know. His touchdown interception ratio is dreadful. Honestly, if this had nothing to do with money, we'd see Jalen Hurts right now. Right now. We'll talk about it with Jaws. Now then, you know I love stories. I love journeys. That's what's so great about sports, and particularly the NFL. Journeys make the athlete, and sometimes the journeys make the athlete a Hall of Famer. Okay? First time I ever laid eyes on DK Metcalf was at the Combine. I'm in the booth. It's two Februarys ago, 2019. And Daniel Jeremiah is sitting to my right. He says to me when I first got to Indianapolis, wide receiver group's great. Wait till you see the kids from Ole Miss. Wait till you see A.J. Brown. And wait till you see his teammate who looks like he's in a human bat suit. A human bat suit is what he said about DK Metcalf. Now, DK Metcalf came in with a medical issue. He was a redshirt sophomore who decided to leave Ole Miss after a neck injury ended his final season there. After just 26 receptions and 5 touchdowns in 7 games, he suffers a neck injury, and that's it, and he decides to leave and go into the draft. So when you hear that he was, you know, the 8th receiver taken in the draft, that's part of the reason why, okay?
Ninth.
When there's 8 receivers taken, it's part of the reason why. But then I watched him work out. And the kid ran a 4.33 40. And he had 27 reps of 225 in the weight room that topped all wide receivers. A vertical jump of 40 and a half inches and a broad of 11 feet, 1 inch. I mean, he just jumped out of the building. And so, you know, Jack Andrade, one of the top researchers in all the land, he hands me a card that I tweeted out on the spot that his 4.33 40 was the fastest by anybody who weighed 225 or more. And there's the date. I first laid eyes on DK Metcalf. March 2nd, 2019. Look at the other names on this list. His teammate, Shaquem Griffin. Okay. Saquon. Look at the name at the bottom of the list. Huh. Calvin Johnson. Put a pin in that. And the thing, again, with DK Metcalf, it's about what beats inside, too. He's got the bat suit, right? Beats inside. The video that we then ran on NFL Network, let's put it up, Don. I don't know who he was talking to. His family, I imagine, crying. This is a kid who thought his neck injury would end his career, and he's like, I'm going to leave school, and I believe in myself. I believe in myself, and I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to leave school. I'm going to go to come. I'm going to kill it. And sometimes, though, you need to find the right spot, too. You got to have football lady luck smile on you, too. And to wind up in the spot where the coach says, always compete. Doesn't matter where we draft you. You compete, you're in there. The quarterback, Russell Wilson, is the personification of Pete Carroll's always compete. Personification of it. And now here comes DK Metcalf into that organization. And 2 years in, he is a revelation. A revelation. He is amazing. He is top five. He's up there with DeAndre Hopkins and anybody else you think is top five. He is a number one wide receiver. And, you know, Tyler Lockett has times where he could be one too, but that's the guy right there. That's the man beater. That's the guy who can be physical. That's the guy who's got the heartbeat. And that's the guy you do not walk up to before the game and give him any reason to hang on to something, as apparently Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles, did last night.
I think it was just at the right time, right place. It's kind of like coming home, you know, a place that had a chance to draft me, but, you know, they didn't. So, you know, I got to make them pay. You know, I still got work to do. One of the defensive coaches came up to me, and it kind of made me mad that he was like, you know, I was in Detroit with Megatron, but you're not there yet. You know, in my mind, I'm not trying to be Megatron. I'm trying to be me. So, you know, had a little chip on my shoulder the whole game.
Was that Jim Schwartz?
Yes, sir.
Now then, Jim Schwartz might have been like, if he comes up to him and he goes, you're not Megatron yet, but keep trying, kid. Or like, hey, you're great. You've been terrific. I was around Megatron. I was a head coach in this league once. I was around Megatron. You know, you're not there yet, but keep going. Thinking that he's, you know, he's there with one of the young guys and mixing it up. Or he could have been like, hey, man, I was around Megatron and you look like him. I mean, you still have a little ways to go, but he could have been that way about it.
That's what he told John Clark of CBS and NBC in Philadelphia.
Might have been that way about it. But DK Metcalf is literally, as you can see, like an Arya Stark figure. He's got a bunch of people on his list who passed up on him, and Philadelphia is one of them. I would just note to all coaches in the league, opposing teams, stay away from him. Just stay away from him, because he is a unique individual that is just a vacuum for anything that he could use to his benefit against you. Stay away from him.
Valor Margolis.
Okay. And his Twitter game, too. You know, it's like Jordan, right? From The Last Dance. Did you see what he tweeted out today about what John Clark tweeted about what you said that Jim Schwartz said he meant to say?
Yeah.
And I took that personally. It's the Jordan meme from The Last Dance.
Yeah.
And in case you're wondering where Megatron might come from or anything like that, this is why you watch this show. If you don't mind pounding the show's chest a little bit here, you saw what he did on the last night of November. Last night. DK Metcalf, right? With the whole Megatron stuff. Last day of August, Greg Olson came on this show, fresh to the Seattle Seahawks, and said this right here.
DK Metcalf is really, really, he's special. I'll tell you what, I knew from afar he was good. Now seeing him and watching him grow and develop, I mean, he has a chance to be, I mean, I don't like throwing around superlatives and comparisons, but I mean, you're talking like a Calvin Johnson type guy, big, fast, aggressive. You know, he's got a ways to go to obviously reach what Calvin achieved, but from just an approach standpoint, he every day he wants to learn. Every day he's trying to figure out ways to improve his game. And then physically, he checks every box you've ever thought of for wide receivers.
By the way, note to everyone else, that's the way you bring up Megatron around DK Metcalf. So just to put a pin in all this, just to put a button on all this, you know I like coming up with nicknames around here.
Oh, good.
Oh, don't worry. I think I got a good one here.
Well, Rich, I've heard that line many
times. Hold on a second. He needs a nickname.
Oh, he doesn't.
He does.
DK, that's it.
Okay,
that's fine.
I get it. But I only know one speed here, and I'm undaunted. Call me like the Doug Peterson. I'm banging my head against the wall. Nicknames of the Carson Wentz on the Doug Peterson here, okay? I will not go with Metcatron. You can't do it.
No.
Okay, because he doesn't want that comparison. He says he's being himself. You don't want that.
Oh, no. I'm so worried.
No. I think this is a good one.
I really want to.
I really think this is a good one. DK Metcalf is the human chunk play. That's what he is. The human chunk play. That's what he is. How many receivers you see? Here it is, 3 yards for you. He averaged 17 yards a catch last night.
Chunk?
But chunk play.
Rich, I know you've only seen Goonies one time, but like Chunk is a little fat kid.
Yeah.
DK is anything but fat.
This is a football
play.
It's
like calling it tall.
The human chunk play.
I know, but.
I don't care. I don't care. Human big play. I don't know. Big play DK.
How about just DK? That's who he is.
The human bat suit kind of works.
What he is a revelation. And he he is maybe the receiver version of Russell Wilson. Coming in, overlooked, gets the coach who's like, always compete. You go be you. Go take it. 844-204-RICH is the number dial. Mina Kimes, as you know, is a big Seahawk fan. She's on this show because she also won $1 million as the phone-a-friend on Celebrity Millionaire. And Nick Chubb, by the way, will be on this show, the human Chubb play. Thank you.
There you go.
And Eagles fan David Boreanaz, CBS SEAL Team. SEAL Team going into Philadelphia to try and rescue Jalen Hurts. Jaws coming up. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Hey, everybody. The Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to RichEisenStore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve in white or heather gray. We've got hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of Joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to RichEisenStore.com and shop your head off right now.
My son wanted something off the store.
Does he get a discount?
No, there's no discounts. I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know how the discounts would work. Even
I just figured I'd ask beforehand.
Should I run that up the flagpole and ask, you know, about codes and stuff like that?
Or, you know, when I used to work at Foot Locker, Rich, I got a nice 20% employee discount, which I use. And I just figured here, if we're hawking stuff, yes, then as an employee, technically, that maybe we get a little, you know, something awesome.
So, Rich is the flagpole.
Like, did you get a nice referee shirt?
Oh, yeah, I still have it.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Break it out every now and then.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our radio networks, rejoining our Peacock feed and joining us here to discuss everything that's going on in the world of Philadelphia. Certainly is somebody who knows about the crucible of being a quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, even when he's the first ever Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl quarterback. Love this man's work as well through everything with NFL Films and his years at ESPN. The most affable Ron Jaworski right here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Ron?
Rich, I am doing terrific. Unfortunately, the fan base in the city of brotherly love is not.
You know what, Ron? I got to be honest with you. As you know, we reached out to you last week to book you just for this very spot. I kind of saw this one coming. It's not all Carson. I know that there's so much going on, but it just seems that it's all not working. Put it all together and something needs to be changed, Ron. If so, what is that? Do you think?
Yeah, you clearly said a lot of things aren't working right now, and it's certainly very disappointing. And we all know, not only in Philadelphia, but every other NFL city, the quarterback, when the team wins, gets too much credit, and when the team loses, they get too much blame. But quite honestly, Carson is not playing well. I'm actually sitting in my office looking at the offensive game tape right now, and clearly there were some opportunities to make plays. He did not make them. In the NFL, it's about repetitive pinpoint accuracy, and Carson just isn't playing at that level right now. You know, I called the game last night for Westwood One,
yep,
and after the first five series when the Eagles went 3-and-out, I was thankful there were no fans in the stands,
right,
when Carson Wentz, because I've heard the wrath of 70,000 people. That boo sound still resonates in my ears sometimes. He would have been run out of the stadium. I mean, he was not playing good football. The tape validates that. And it's just a quarterback that is struggling now with his rhythm. I can't speak to how he's handling everything mentally, but his performance on the field right now is not very good. He's not getting help from his receiving core. Seattle, not a great defense, but they weren't afraid to, you know, get pressed man-to-man and force Carson to make those very accurate throws, and he wasn't, and there was no separation.
Well, the concept of making plays, the phrase making plays, Ron, connotes sometimes that the quarterback, something's not there, and he's got to make the play. The making of plays, though, sometimes is the throw that's directly in front of him that has been schemed open by the staff that constantly is pounding into him. Just keep it simple. And he doesn't do that. Why? How does that happen?
I use the term, and, you know, you're around your guys, at, you know, Kurt Warner and guys like that, and, you know, I know how they feel. In fact, I spoke to Dick Vermeil this morning at length to kind of get his feelings on things. And, you know, as quarterbacks and maybe quarterback coaches, we use the term seeing the field with clarity.
Right.
In other words, that in pre-snap look, you look at the defense, the ball is snapped, it changes, and you're seeing it almost in slow motion. And by the time that back foot hits, you know where to go with the football by the design of your offensive scheme against a particular defense. And right now, Carson is just not decoding that defense quick enough. He's been sacked now 46 times. Mm. I mean, you know, and this is a mobile quarterback. So clearly, when he stands back there, patting the football, holding onto the football, you know, getting into that action figure stance where he wants to run with the football, it just shows me he's not seeing people open. When they do get open, and as I said, this receiving core has not been great, but there have been some opportunities where he had a chance to make some plays and just missed them.
Ron Jaworski here on the Rich Eisen Show. Look, it's money. That's the only reason why they're keeping him in there, right? I mean, I don't like saying things so definitively when I'm not literally boots on the ground and having my phones burning up. But I can't imagine Jalen Hurts is so unusable that they just don't even for a spark or just do something and take Wentz off the field and let him just gather himself. Why are they continuing to just stick with the program here in your estimation?
You know, I would think in a normal year, I would agree with you, Rich. This is not a normal year by any stretch of the imagination because of the COVID pandemic and the time lost by players and coaches, and particularly a rookie quarterback. You know, no advantage of the off season of learning an offense, no preseason games, no training camp. I think it would almost be unfair to put Jalen Hurts in the game. And I think the guy's got talent. That's not the question. But sometimes I've seen young quarterbacks be thrust into having to play, and it damages them for the long term. And I also think Carson Wentz still possesses tremendous athleticism, ability to play the position. You know, last year at the end of the season, he carried the football team. You know, after they got, you know, trounced down in Miami, he comes back and they win four games with a makeshift offensive line and, you know, guys from the practice squad as wide receivers. He carried the team. So he does have that ability. I can't speak to exactly what has happened, but, boy, there's just a lack of confidence right now. His two big plays yesterday were runs. You know, it's almost like he's looking to run, get into the game that way, and long-term, that's not healthy for a quarterback.
So did you ever have, Ron, a moment where confidence was an issue for you?
I think every quarterback at one time, Rich, goes through a slump, you know, where the ball's just not going where you want it to go. Your reads aren't quite as sharp as you want them to be, and you have to work your way through it. You have to fight your way through it. And the coach has to help you fight your way through it and set you up for success. And right now, none of those things are working right now. You know, I don't see the play design where they're helping him. Their inability to focus on the running game when you got a running back in Miles Sanders averaging 5.7 yards per touch. This team is throwing at an alarming rate of 67%. Too pass happy without the weapons to play that style of football. The changes on the offensive line, although I will say, and looking at this tape, the offensive line, you know, did a real good job yesterday. That wasn't the main issue. So as a quarterback, you have to work through it. There are slumps. Every quarterback goes through it. But this really, and I hate to say it because I'm a Carson fan,
right,
it's been an 11-game slump. He has not played a game well yet. There's been some spurts of maybe the Wentz of 2017, but consistently hasn't been there for four quarters or 60 minutes of a game. So he is in a deep slump.
So you mentioned this is a perfect storm. That was kind of a phrase that I used at the very top of the show with the perfect storm of he signed the big contract. They are attached at the hip to somebody who they really don't want to bench because of that. You're telling me again that we're in COVID-19 world, so this is the worst possible time to throw a rookie quarterback in the mix yet. Yet I'll be honest with you, Ron, you're seeing what happened with Herbert. Justin Herbert didn't have any of that, and he was told right before start, you got to go beat the Super Bowl champs, almost did. You know, Tua's had a few weeks before he got in, and he showed up. Joe Burrow didn't have any of it, and he was in line for offensive rookie the year before it all happened. I just want to revisit this one last time. How is Jalen Hurts, with all his time in Alabama and what he did in Oklahoma and all the leadership skills that he has, just not even usable? How is that possible?
Well, he has been usable. He's getting probably three or four snaps a game in the zone read, and every once in a while he'll throw a seam route. Very simple opportunity to get him in the game. And I think, you know, that was kind of the focus. Let's get some gimmicks and gadgets for Jalen Hurts and see how they work. And he's been getting those. And maybe, you know, and you're 100% correct. There are, you know, Tua's come in and done great. Herbert's come in and done great. Joe Burrow was very, very good. I think the situation was different for those guys. And oh, by the way, I mean, just to chime in on what this COVID has done, and I am certainly understanding of, you know, winning is so important in the National Football League, and that's how players and coaches are judged. But, you know, to fire coaches at this time of year and to fire general managers, I just don't agree with it. I think, you know, in the NFL, and Rich, you've been around it for a long time, you know how everyone is a creature of habit, doing the same thing over and over again and having a regimen and a schedule and doing everything the same way every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year. And that has all been broken. And I just find it hard to make an evaluation of people in these stressful times that everyone is dealing with right now. How would you like to be Vic Fangio and have your job dictated by your four quarterbacks not being on the field? And, you know, you got a wide receiver that last played quarterback
right
at Wake Forest, you know, 4 years ago and was drafted as a wide receiver. So that's kind of, I'm lumping it all together, saying I think this has changed the whole dynamic of the National Football League, this COVID pandemic era.
few more minutes left with Ron Jaworski, and then one last here on the Eagles. Let's try and be positive then, okay? They're just a half game out of first. They do go to Green Bay, which
that positive.
No. I mean, that is positive, yeah. Okay? And they do go to Green Bay, which sounds negative, but you remember last year, Wentz on a Thursday night, short week, went in and was one of the few people to actually beat the Packers last year. So maybe he can feel comfortable, get some sort of confidence going here. What is the fix? Or it's just like, keep doing the same thing that you're doing, believe in your system, and it'll eventually turn around? I mean, like, what do you think is the fix, Ron Jaworski?
Well, I think here's what I would do.
Okay.
And, you know, I was fortunate enough to play 17 years in the NFL with a lot of, you know, great coaches and great people that work you through those tough times. And I would find some really great plays that Carson made. If I'm Doug Peterson or the coaching staff, the guys that are working with him, Marty Morningwig and Press Taylor, the passing game coordinator, and find about 50 plays and say, hey, Carson, come on to my office, man. Let's start looking at this stuff. Let's look at these plays that you've made. Look at these great plays you've done. You haven't changed. You know, you're the same guy. You got the same velocity. You got the same talent. What the hell's going on? Why can't you make these plays? But also show him nothing but positive.
Right.
And don't embellish the negative. He's hearing that. This is Philadelphia. I mean, there's chatter everywhere.
I'm from sure.
The owner to the GM to the media. You name it. There's chatter everywhere. Bench him. Get him out. And that can wear you down. And I think he's a little bit worn right down. You know, he's got the big contract, which now people always throw the money out there. You know, he's overpaid. He's done earning. But find some way to get some of those positive thoughts of the really good things he has done in 4 years in Philadelphia and the games that he's won and carried the team in the end of last year. Show him the positive of what he has done. Try to build him from the ground up back to the positive guy he once was when he came to Philadelphia 4 years ago.
So you give 2 cents, Ron Jaworski here on the Rich Eisen Show. You just gave 2 cents of what Peterson and the staff should say to Wentz. Does Peterson call Jim Schwartz into his office? What'd you say to DK Metcalf before the game?
I got to be honest with you. I was at the game. I called the game for Westwood right. 1, but right. I was not on the field. And I know Jim Schwartz. I've known Jim for a long, long time.
Right.
He's a fine coach. And he's one of those guys that he's friendly. He's personal before the game. Like a lot of these coaches are. They're shaking hands. They're saying hello to their buddies. I wasn't there, so I can't.
Right.
I'm only going on reports I've heard. Jim's not the kind of guy to go up and antagonize a guy. You know, he's just not. That's not his style. Hey, when you're coaching, you know, there's a little antagonistic approach. But
sure.
I almost believe he was almost in a positive way saying, you know, boy, hey, you're really good. But you know, I was with Megatron, and you're not there yet. But man, just keep working, young man, and you're going to be, you know, you'll be like him. I don't know if the final sentence ever got out there, but seeing the interview. With Metcalf, it didn't seem that way.
Well, you're also used to, from your championship years, Ron, throwing to a big, tall wide receiver in Harold Carmichael. So where does Metcalf rank? I mean, he is something else, Ron.
Yeah, he really is. And I think to a certain degree, the Eagles probably made it, not a total mistake, but by putting Darius Slay and traveling Darius Slay with him. Now, it wasn't all the time yesterday, but it was a high percentage of the time that, you know, the Slay-Metcalf matchup. And actually, when you look at I just went through the tape, he was targeted 8 times, caught those passes for 7 first downs when Darius Slay was on him. So, yeah, I think Jim would like to probably look back and say, yeah, we brought Darius Slay here in as a free agent to shut down DK Metcalf, but we got to do more. We got to give him some help. We got to play some zone. We got to play some man with some underneath help. We got to run a linebacker out. Blah 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 blah. But just don't put the hat on Darius Slay to shut down DK Metcalf. If anyone's looked at the tape of this guy, he's unstoppable. You just try to limit him because you can't stop him.
Last one for you, Jaws. Before I let you go, I'd be remiss if I didn't let you chime in on the Tom Brady subject and whether he and Arians are on the proverbial same page. Bruce Arians telling my colleague at the NFL Media Group, Mike Silver, yesterday that Brady's calling the plays. And I don't know if that means that Brady's designing the plays or that he's actually basically calling whatever he wants to call at the line, but that might be Arians' way of communicating to everyone that they are on the same page. What does everything on this offense that's had 12 straight weeks, this offense in Carolina is the only offense that's had 12 straight uninterrupted weeks of gameplay so far. They're the last bye week teams this week. What's your thoughts on this very hot button subject?
I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense is going to come back after this bye week, and they are going to they're going to gut some people. I mean, there is incredible talent on that offense, and it's taken time for everyone to assimilate to each other's style of play, to Tom Brady's style of play. Tom has tweaked his game a little bit. He's gone to the deep ball, and why not? He's got a plethora of receivers that can flat out fly and make plays down the field. I think they will figure it out in Tampa Bay, and they're going to be a team to reckon with when they come back and get healthy.
What is the figuring it out? Because again, the only analogy I could kind of put together in terms of goat, new place, and coach with system that new goat has to assimilate, or vice versa, was when Peyton Manning went to Denver and Gary Kubiak wanted him under center, and Peyton likes being in shotgun, and they kind of found the Solomon-like decision with the pistol. What is that here? What do you think it is?
Rich, I think it takes time. You know, every case is different. Every situation is different. But when I look at this offense and I watch these receivers run routes, there's incredible talent there. I think Tom is still the same player he was from a physical standpoint. In fact, I called the Patriots, I got Tom at the Patriots,
so I called the
Bucks-Giants game earlier in the year, and I watched Tom in warm-up very closely. And I mean, he was throwing with great velocity, deep ball, you know, the deep out, comeback, far hash, all those difficult throws you have to make consistently in the NFL. He was making all those throws. And it's just not a magic wand or some lucky dust to throw out there and say everything's going to be fine. You've got to work, because every receiver runs their route differently. Everyone gives you a different hint, a different indicator. And sometimes it takes, you know, a little longer to figure everyone out, where Tom's going to place the ball when you're running your route, where, you know, if you're running down the field, inside shoulder, outside shoulder, flat throw, a high arcing throw. There's a lot of different things that take time to adjust to with all new faces. And I just see just such a big upside when I look at the tape of that Bucs offense. Now, if there's one thing that does puzzle me a little bit, they need to find a running back that could catch the ball at the backfield, because they're getting some good matchups, you know, with linebackers, and they're not taking advantage of that. Of course, they've dropped a lot of balls. Leonard Fournette just hasn't looked like a good receiving back, but he can certainly pound it up inside. But I think they will figure it out in this bye week.
All right, last one for you. I know I said that was my last one, but you did mention earlier today that you spoke to Dick Vermeil, one of my favorite humans on the planet. First of all, how is he doing, and Carol and the whole family? And two, what are his thoughts on the Eagles subject?
I think he probably expressed to me, and I won't give you the detail, but the disappointment that I have, he has, the city of Philadelphia, because I think the expectations were real. We thought this was going to be a much improved football team. And here's one area, you know, that the coach and I do always talk about, and it's kind of the basis of my football backbone, is that, you know, to be successful week in and week out, you can't be one-dimensional. And you know, this Eagle football team just abandons the run too quickly, and they put too much pressure, you know, on the quarterback to make plays, especially when you have a Miles Sanders who's averaging 5.7 yards per touch, and you've got to get in that third down and short distance. When you're running in third and seven, third and eight, it's a disaster down for the offense, because the defense now controls the tempo and what they can do. And the Eagles have found themselves in too many third and long situations because they've abandoned the run.
Ron, you take care of yourself, okay? Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Rich. Always great to talk to
you. You're the man. That's Jaws. Ron Jaworski, at Jaws, CEO QB. Go follow him. I follow him, too. He's phenomenal. I love that guy. I last saw him in London last year. He was out there. He's just and nobody's better than Vermeil, man. I got a good Vermeil story when I come back.
Was that before or after the selfie picture?
Which one? Selfie picture in London?
Wasn't that with Scorsese? Was that in London?
That was in London. That was the same trip. Yep.
Same trip.
Yep. Actually, this story of Vermeil involves Martin Scorsese.
Oh.
Actually.
Okay.
Yeah, man. That's called a tease. And we'll take your phone calls. 844-204-RICH here on The Rich Eisen Show. We are back with more in a moment. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. I pride myself on my professionalism, and this may not sound very professional, but I am not reading this promo again if they change this game one more time, all right? I did a Thanksgiving night one. I did a Sunday one. Then I did a Tuesday one. Now I'm doing a Wednesday afternoon one. And I am out. I know they can't control the reason why. And I know it's not about me, but how many times can they ask someone to do the same promo? Is this on? Are we back?
Uh-oh. Can we just throw it up for 12:40 football on the West Coast?
Here we go, everybody.
Tomorrow. Phenomenal.
Lunchtime, Wednesday, lunchtime, National Football League rivalry football.
Let's just stay here and watch the game after the show. The game.
Oh, we could do that if it was only, you know.
Bring some pizza. Oh, wait a minute.
You know, we try to be social distancing. You can't just sit here and watch a football game, dude.
Why not? We got like 8 TVs in there. And we got a bunch of pizza at home, so bring that.
Oh, you're bringing up the pizza. I didn't bring it up.
I thought we were done.
I didn't bring it up. I thought we put that to bed.
Done. I don't think this is ever getting put to bed, by the way.
Come on. I thought we would put that to bed. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, right here on our radio networks, Mightier 1090 here in Southern California. Chris Brockman mentioning tomorrow's rescheduled. Okay. So if one reschedule was Thursday to Sunday. Then it was Sunday to Tuesday was the reschedule.
Right.
Tuesday to Wednesday was the reschedule. I think I've got it right, right?
Wow.
So the rescheduled Thanksgiving night game, week 12 will end on tomorrow. Knock on wood if you're with me. And apparently it seems that, so you pointed out here on the West Coast, that's 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Turn it to NBC.
12:40 kick. Sign me up.
12:40 kick in Pittsburgh, PA.
I'm coming over, bro.
It's 3:40 there.
Let's
but
go.
Okay.
You can watch outside.
Yeah. Oh, you got an outside TV? I didn't know that.
Look through the window is what he said.
Oh, so, yeah, that's your outdoor viewing? Is you sit outdoors and watch something through the window indoors.
Very He'll good. Send Maverick out to hang hey, with Maverick. Me, though.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. When did the Departed win the Oscar, Chris? Look that up. Was that 2013?
It would have been 2000. More. Came out in 2006, or
wow.
It would have been the 2007
Oscars. Long.
2007.
Oscars. Okay, so for many, many, many years, the Combine has been held on the same weekend as the Academy Awards.
Oh yeah,
and you know, I keep telling the NFL, hey, you know, we're going to get lost in the Academy Awards shuffle. You got to reschedule the combine. I don't listen. Could you imagine telling all those scouts, telling Tom Coughlin all those years, Tom, we're going to have to hold the combine later. Why? They can't go up against the Oscars.
You were just like, why?
All those hard-bitten scouts. Yeah, I mean, we cannot compete with Meryl Streep and the three-cone drill. We'll lose every time. Okay. But anyway, the reason why I bring this up is because way back in the day when we first started our combine coverage, our analysts were Jim Morris Sr. and Dick Vermeil. Now, Chris, you know from your years being on the Rich Eisen podcast, the podcast from which this show has been born in a show and also still a podcast, you know Jim Morris Sr. was our go-to film reviewer.
That's right.
He grew up on the Fox lot. I think his dad was a key grip or something like that, or an editor or something. He grew up around movies. He loves movies. He sees all movies, foreign and domestic. So when it was Oscar night, he asked, are we going to watch the Oscars? Jim Moore Sr. asking that to the group. We're like, okay. So in the hotel where we stay at, in Indianapolis, used to have a Shula's Steakhouse.
Yep.
And we asked Shula's to give us a room and put the Oscars on. Mm-hmm. We did. And we had a whole bunch of people go there, and we had dinner and watched the Oscars. And the other analyst who was part of the mix, along with Mooch, was Dick Vermeil. And Dick Vermeil, when The Departed won the Oscar for Best Picture, and Scorsese finally, somehow, some way, had never gotten an Oscar because he lost every single time.
Right.
Right? He gets an Oscar, and so does The Departed. Gets the Oscar. Dick Vermeil started to tear up.
Touch of the Vermeil.
He got
man.
A touch of the Vermeil. He started tearing up because it was such a beautiful moment for one of his favorite directors. The man has just got an empathy streak is a mile wide.
He's not afraid to shed a tear.
And by the way, and I'll just say this too, while I'm on the subject. He was into analytics way before. Way before. Man's been in football since the early 60s. He's been around everybody. Name somebody that's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a coach. He's been around them and has talked football with that person and has that sort of sensibilities installed in him. He's picked it up everywhere. College pro. I don't know why we don't hear his name mentioned for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You cannot tell the story of professional football without Dick Vermeil. Bringing the Philadelphia Eagles to their Super Bowl, first one ever. Lost to Tom Flores, who's going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year, finally gets his call. The only one once. I guess that's why. The only one once. I love that guy. He knows a ton of football. He's been around everybody, everybody. I'd love to hear his name mentioned.
I probably would have got that wrong if you would have asked me whether he was in the Hall of Fame or not. I probably would have said, yeah.
He is not. I've never even heard his name mentioned, like in the mix.
Really?
In the mix. He's been around the game for 60 years.
And he seems like someone everybody loves, too, which makes it even more weird.
Let's go to Kathy in Philadelphia here to wrap up the first hour. How you been, Kathy?
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
What's going on?
Kathy.
What's up?
Well, two very quick things, Rich. I know you're up against the hour, so two quick things. First, I want to review my purchase from the Rich Eisen store. I wish you had checked with me. I would have gone Rich Eisen shop. You know, nice play on words.
Okay.
But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Okay.
I was looking for the pizza cutter. Not available.
Not yet.
That's what that's about.
We're crawling before we walk, before we jog and run. That's where we are, Kathy. We're just getting started. That's all.
I understand. I was going to get the mug, but I didn't want it to overshadow my best aunt ever plaque. So I went with the T-shirt, Heather Gray, Rich.
Okay.
It's a nice shirt.
Mm.
I got to say, it's a nice shirt.
What
you know,
a fabric,
you always have these concerns because you don't know if it's going to be too starchy, if it's going to be too, you know, whatever. But no, it's a nice shirt. So there's that. So, hey, Christmas is coming up for the listeners.
Look at you, Kathy.
Go to richeisenstore.com. Get a nice gift.
Kathy.
My second item. I know this first hour has been a bit of a memory lane trip. So I'm going to take you on a trip of my own back to January of 2018.
Okay.
The day after the Minneapolis Miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first time I called into the Rich Eisen show to answer Brockman's poll question, if you knew your team was going to lose anyway, would you rather be a blowout or on the last play?
Okay.
Blowout.
As a Bills fan, I went, you know, wide right, you know, illegal forward pass, all of that fun stuff. Well, now that we're 2 weeks removed from the Hail Murray.
Yes.
And the Bills are now having to return to the scene of the crime come Monday.
Yes.
I'd like to double down on my response of you absolutely want to be a blowout. Because the way that the last minute play just rips your heart out, and then you have to, you know, watch on NFL game day morning as, you know, Rich Eisen says, look at this shot from D-Hop. You know, it hurts, and it doesn't go away.
But, Kathy, you have the ultimate consolation prize, which is a fantastic shirt from richeisenstore.com, and I will check with you next time that we have any sort of quality control. Thank you for the call, Kathy. That was a phenomenal phone call. Round of applause,
Kathy.
For Kathy in Philadelphia.
Great job,
there
Kathy.
Is no I, but there is a Y in Kathy, and she was asking me why richeisenstore.com. I don't know. That's the way it came to me.
She paid full price for that T-shirt, right?
I'm assuming she did. And thank you for the call.
You're not
Kathy.
Getting a discount, bro.
I'll tell you this, though. I'll tell you this. From that episode from Seinfeld, Luis Polonia. What a fabric. Kathy just gave us a Luis Polonia. Mina Kimes coming up. We're still here on Peacock. Cotton.
What a fabric.
What a fabric. Was right. Was Luis Polonia?
Like,
he quoted it was Wade Boggs and Luis Polonia, who George quoted about the cotton
and then,
uniforms.
The announcer was like, Danny Tartable split his pants.
Although I've never had a harder laugh. I think I mentioned this to Larry David when he was here, the episode where George is dead, when George is missing.
George is missing.
And uses the opportunity, because George is missing, to get to George Steinbrenner, uses that opportunity when he's with George Steinbrenner to complain vehemently about the Jay Buhner trade. Holy cow.
What the hell did you trade Jay Buhner for?
My baseball people said Ken Phelps. Ken Phelps, my baseball people.
He leaves the message on Jerry's machine. George, it's Frank Costanza. George is missing. Steinbrenner's here. Call me back.
I remember I was on my couch in Redding, California by myself watching that show. I fell off the couch laughing so hard. I think it was like 1995. What the hell did you trade Jay Buhner for? His son's missing, and he's going all in on the Buhner trade. He's got a rocket for an arm.
Just amazing.
What a fabric, Luis Polonia. And what a fabric in the Rich Eisen Show shirts. RichEisenStore.com. Mina Kimes coming up on the Rich Eisen Show. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room. Collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.